Welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection, and we are in 1 John chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it, and we will be looking at verses 12 through 14 together. Again, that's 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Here's what the scriptures say. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. Now, when we come to this passage of Scripture, it's kind of interesting. It actually seems a little bit redundant, like he's saying the same thing a couple of different times. But I want us to begin with kind of a summary statement of what John is trying to communicate, and then dig into some of these details as far as to why he talks about children, young men, old men, things like that. So here's a summary statement for 1 John chapter 2. John wanted his listeners, readers, to realize that as a pastor, he recognized where they were in their growth into Christ's likeness, and that his expectations for them were reasonable and consistent with their position in Christ. In other words, when John's writing these verses, he recognizes that the group of people that he's writing to have some diversity amongst themselves. And the diversity that he's referring to at this point is not their age level, but their maturity in growth into Christ's likeness. And so the fact that John recognizes that, expresses that, and says specific things about those various levels of maturity, I think is really important for us to stop and think about. And he doesn't just say it once, he actually says it multiple times. And he's going to kind of refer to this idea of different levels of maturity throughout the book. So here's the first truth that we find this morning. We're all in different seasons of growth. And that's the way that it should be. Let me say that again. We are all in different seasons of growth, and that's the way that it should be. In verse 12 he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Now he mentions three different groups, and I want you to notice how he refers to them. Little children, he talks to them like they are brand new Christians. Young men, he talks to them as if they are maturing Christians and kind of in the prime of their strength. And then he has a third group, fathers. He talks to them as if they are spiritually matured. You know, if a church is healthy, it's going to have diversity in it. It's going to have people from a lot of different walks of life. It's going to have people from different ethnic backgrounds. It's going to have people who are at different statuses in society as far as maybe their financial situation, the kind of work that they do. The truth is that the church should be kind of this blend of whoever in that community has placed their faith in Christ. And part of that diversity within the local church is going to be that you have brand new Christians, you have people that have been a believer for a while, they're very active, they're physically strong, they're vibrant, and then you have people that have gotten to the stage in life where they're not able to do as much physically, but the truth is they've gleaned a lot of wisdom over the years. And so while they might not be as physically strong, the experience level that they have is incredibly important to guide those people that are brand new Christians and those that are in that stage of strength and vitality, but are in the maturing process. That's really important. In fact, when we talk about a church like the Church of Ephesus, that was a church that had balance, it had maturity, it had stability. Think about it like this. If you had a church that was all brand new Christians, how strong and stable would that church be? There would be no doctrinal depth. There would be a lot of, well, very immature things done because there were no people in that church who were in a position where they had experience and they could actually guide and lead those people. That would be a very dangerous situation for a church to be in. What about a church that was all older Christians, but there were no new Christians? Well, that would be a very unhealthy church as well, because that would be a church that was clearly not reaching new people who were coming to understand the gospel and place their faith in Christ. And so that would be a church that ultimately would be in a process of dying rather than a church that's continuing to pass on the torch from one generation to another. Think about a church that had all maturing Christians. In other words, you didn't have young Christians, you didn't have older Christians. You just had people that were kind of in that middle ground area. Well, that would be a church that would lack a lot of balance. The truth is, it wouldn't have the perspective of the older, mature Christian, nor would it understand the fact that there are young Christians who don't know very much about the Christian faith. They have excitement and energy, but not a lot of guidance. Think about a situation where you had no maturing Christians. Well, that would be a church that really would have no spiritual impact in the areas where God had placed it. The idea is that a church needs to have diversity in this area. We need to have young Christians, we need to have maturing Christians, and we need to have seasoned, spiritually mature people who can guide and who can shepherd and who can disciple. And when John writes to these believers, he recognizes as a pastor that he's writing to people that are in all three phases of spiritual growth. And really, that's a good thing. A second thing that we see here, a second truth, is that our expectations for ourselves and the people around us needs to be proportionate to the current season of growth that we or that they are in. One of the reasons that a lot of times Christians get frustrated with one another is that they forget that where they are in their growth as a Christian is different than the person that's before them. You may have a really young, immature Christian, and they feel like an older Christian is constantly guarded about certain things and seems to not be comfortable with certain kinds of things, and that just really bothers them. They seem so stuffy, and why can't they enjoy life? Well, what they don't realize is that the longer you live, the more you realize how dangerous certain things are and why it's not a good idea to do those things. And so a younger Christian has to ask older believers, why is it that you're uncomfortable with that practice? Why is it that you feel like we shouldn't do that? That communication is extremely important in the church. You might have a person that is maturing. They're not in that baby position, you might say, but they're not really a fully matured Christian. They have a lot of strength. They have a lot of zeal. They're able to do a lot of things in ministry, but there's still areas where they need that guidance. That guidance is important. But then when you have an older Christian who has lived through the Christian life and learned many things, it really has a wealth of knowledge, sometimes it's easy to forget what it was like to be in that early stage. Sometimes it's easy to forget how we had to learn and grow, and we didn't get from point A to point B that quickly. It took years. It took decades. And so the truth is that all of that perspective is extremely important. And what's important about it is that we have a balanced expectation for one another in our growth into Christ's likeness. In other words, a brand new Christian, we understand that there are certain things they don't yet understand. We understand that there are certain things that they are comfortable doing that they've not grown to the point where they realize, you know, that's really not a good idea. And so it's important for our expectations to be balanced and reasonable. And you know what's interesting? The way that John talks about his relationship to these people actually shows us that he understands that. Here's how he puts it. Little children know the basics. He says, your sins are forgiven. You have known the Father. Now that's very basic. I'm forgiven, and I know some very general things about God. In fact, for a person to become a Christian, they simply need to know that they're a sinner. Christ died for their sins. He rose from the dead. They have nothing they can give to God to earn eternal life. It's a gift. They trust in the finished work of Christ. That's an extremely simple message. And when a person is a brand new believer, that is the full extent of what they understand about the Christian faith. There's so many doctrinal truths, that the nature of the church, how we grow as a Christian, things about eschatology, certain aspects of the doctrine of salvation. There are a lot of things they don't understand. They simply know, I'm a sinner, Christ died for my sins, he rose from the dead, salvation is a free gift, I'm trusting in the finished work of Christ. That's what a new Christian understands. And you know what he says, little children, your sins are forgiven, you know the Father. John understands that these young Christians have a very basic elementary knowledge of the gospel and of the Christian faith, and that's all he expects of them at that point. That second group, the young men, this is how he refers to them. He says, you have overcome the wicked one, ye are strong. Now this is really interesting. The thing that John emphasizes about the people that are young, yet they're maturing, is that they have strength, that they're overcoming the wicked one. I guess what you could put it is this. You could put it like this. John recognizes that a person grows from a point of immaturity, being a baby Christian, to a place where they have strength. They have the ability to get a lot of things accomplished. They haven't reached full maturity, but they're in a very active season of life. And that's what he emphasizes. In other words, he's expecting that these people are active. He's expecting that they're involved in the ministry and work of the church. But he also understands that there are a couple of limitations to their perspective. They've not quite reached that point where there is a full seasoning and maturity like you'd want to see in the church. And so then he mentions this third group. Fathers have experience. He says, you have known him that is from the beginning. You have known him that is from the beginning. Twice he mentions this. Why is it that he emphasizes you've known him? The point is that when a person gets to that stage where they are now the mentor, the thing that is their greatest asset to the church is not their back, it's their experience. The truth is that they know God and they know things about the Christian faith that the immature baby doesn't know yet. And even the person that is very active and very strong in accomplishing a lot of things, they themselves still lack a lot of that knowledge. In other words, John's expectations for these three groups within the church are proportionate to the area, the current season that they're in their lives. And the truth is that God expects all of us to be active, but what he expects of us is proportionate to the season that we're in. You know, think about it this way. When we talk about a pastor is not to be a novice. Does that mean that being a novice as a Christian is a bad thing? No. I mean, if I'm a brand new Christian, well, then I'm a novice. But I can't be a pastor. Why is that? Because a pastor has to go through this seasoning process. He has to get to a place where he has theological soundness, experience in life, and he can actually guide and mentor and work with people. And a young Christian is not in a position to be able to do that. So a pastor has to be someone who has maturity. They have experience. You know, a deacon is somebody that has to be proved, the scripture says. The idea is that they've demonstrated that they're at a point in life where they are in a place to mentor people. They've reached a point of spiritual maturity. It's so important, expectation. We talk about dads. Dads are to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. One of the things that we realize is that when you become a dad, you might only be 25 years old. You're a very young person. But you know what? You're working with someone who's a very young person. You're working with a baby. And so the truth is that as our children get older, we are maturing in the faith as well. And the way that we work with our children is growing and maturing. We actually learn as we're in the middle of the process. And so a father has certain expectations. You mentor your children. And the truth is you don't have a teenager when you're 19 or 20 years old. You have a teenager when you've gone through some life and you have a little bit more experience to draw from to work with that person who is, well, in a very difficult season of life. You know, the scriptures say that there are supposed to be some people in the church who are teachers, who are mentoring the younger. We understand that there comes a point when we should be able to teach other Christians. The point that I'm making is that John recognizes this. This is being communicated in the passage in front of us. Our expectations for ourselves and others should be proportionate to the season of growth that we're in. There's also a third truth that I want to mention this morning. While our season of growth does not affect our position, it does affect our Christian experience. If I'm a baby Christian, if I'm a maturing Christian, if I am a seasoned Christian, my position in Christ is the same. My position in Christ is I'm forgiven, I'm declared righteous, I have an eternal inheritance that's awaiting me. Okay, my position in Christ is the same no matter what season I'm in. So when I become a new Christian and my knowledge of the gospel is just as basic as Christ died for my sins, he rose from the dead, I'm trusting in what he did for me, but I don't understand all those other things. My position in Christ is the same as it is when I'm 80 years old and I've been a Christian for 65 or 70 years of my life. I've studied the Bible. I've read through it dozens upon dozens of times. I've heard thousands of sermons, and I've learned a lot in life. My position in Christ is the exact same. But my experience is very different. It's very different. When I'm a new Christian, everything that I'm reading and everything I'm hearing is brand new and fresh. I've never heard this before. When I'm in that maturing season and I'm active and I'm involved, I have to sometimes bounce ideas off of other people. Why is that? Because they have experience. There are things that they have learned that I've not yet learned. And when I'm in that season of life where I am the mentor, I'm not as active as the younger person, but my influence is very important. In other words, position doesn't change. Experience changes a lot. And we need to recognize that as we look at a passage like this. So let's take this all and let's make it as practical as possible. How can we take these truths and just apply them in a very simple way? Let me put it like this way. There are three categories of expectation that we could have. And let's say that I'm a person that's very prone to getting discouraged as a Christian and to kind of comparing myself to other people. If that's kind of my tendency, then let me explain to you how this passage applies. First of all, I need to realize I don't grow overnight. Growth takes time. In fact, growth is seasonal. And sometimes I grow quickly and sometimes I grow slowly. And that's natural and that's normal. Even if I'm reading my Bible daily, I'm faithfully attending the worship service, and then I'm spending time with other Christians, I still don't grow overnight. It takes time, and I have to recognize that. So don't be discouraged. Don't compare yourself to other people who are much more matured in the faith than you are simply because you haven't had the time to get to that level. You need to trust God to bring you to spiritual maturity. The truth is that God promises that if he saves us, he's going to grow us. That's what he says. And so we have to trust him to do that. A third thing is I need to be careful that I don't get discouraged when I stumble. Every Christian sins. Now, that's not an excuse, okay? But every Christian stumbles. We're human. Just because we've been forgiven doesn't mean that we become sinlessly perfect. We are not. And as long as we live in this life, we're going to have a battle with sin. And so we need to have an appropriate expectation of how the Christian life works. You know, for those who are prone to be more condescending and proud towards other people, and you know what, that tendency is in all of us, okay? And when we reach a certain point where we feel like we're listening to sermons, and I've heard this before. That was a great sermon. I'm glad that it agrees with my view of that particular scripture. I've read that passage 20 times. And all of a sudden, we start looking at other Christians who are not as matured as us. They've not heard those sermons before. They haven't learned those lessons before. There are a lot of things that they don't understand at this point. It's very important for us in a position like that not to be proud and look down on other people. Don't have unreasonable expectations of new Christians. You know, if a child is 6 months old, I don't expect them to go dress themselves and to make their own meal and then clean up after themselves. They're 6 months old. I'm excited when they start crawling. I'm excited when they start walking a few months later. I'm excited when they're cutting a tooth for the first time. And that's normal. That's where our expectations should be of them. Let's not get frustrated at immature Christians. The truth is that when a person's a brand new believer, there are so many things that they don't know. And we need to lovingly help them as we have opportunity to do that. We need to trust God to mature other Christians. If somebody is truly saved, then they are going to mature. They're going to grow. God has promised that. Let's trust him to do that. And it's so important that we recognize that we haven't arrived. We will never be at the place where there aren't new lessons for God to teach us. Every season of life is going to give us different areas of growth and maturing. And there's a third group. That's those who want to grow. And actually, when I see a third group, I think and I hope that everybody who listens to this video is in that group, okay? Whether you're prone to comparison or despair, whether you're prone to pride, I hope that you're in that group that says, I want to grow. I want to continue to grow. Well, realize that if you're not a Christian, you can't, okay? It's possible that somebody comes across this video who's never placed their faith in the finished work of Christ, and they're not come to that place where they've repented and believed in the gospel. You cannot grow as a Christian if you are not a Christian. Realize this takes time. anything that has quality in life takes a long time and process. And the fact that the process takes time is what actually makes the product have more quality. It really is many times. I don't mean always, but generally speaking, things that are quality take time and the process is long. And we need to realize that what God is perfecting in us takes a lifetime. We need to recognize that there are certain tools that God has given us to help us to grow. He's given us His Word. He wants us to be on our knees. He wants us to fellowship with other Christians. He wants us to realize the importance of the local church. There are tools that God uses to mature us. And if we neglect those tools, we will not grow like we should. And the last thing I'll mention is this. Let's not misunderstand the methods that God has for us. Let's not shortcut how God works. Let's understand it, and let's submit to Him in the process. I hope that this has been an encouraging study for you this morning. It was very encouraging for me as I read through the passage and as I was thinking about it. And the truth is that this is something that I think we constantly need to be reminded of. If this has been a blessing to you, I hope that you'll just jot down a note and say, hey, Pastor, thanks. That was an encouragement. Share it with somebody else who can be encouraged by it. I do want to say that this week I'm not going to be recording any more of our lessons because I'm getting together with family and it will be tight quarters and very difficult to be able to record in the morning. But Lord willing, next week we'll pick back up in 1 John. So the fact that we don't have videos for a couple of days doesn't mean that we're done forever. It just means that for this week, because I have family that I'm getting together with, we will not be recording. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, and we'll look forward to getting together next time. Father, thank you for the time we've spent in your word. Bless these truths. Let them settle in our hearts and help us to live faithfully in the light of them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see each of you this morning. I hope that you have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you later. Bye now.